I'm so happy to see you. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, and then 1 John 4, 12, okay? John chapter 17, you there? John chapter 17, starting at verse 20, and then 1 John 4, 12, okay? Starting with John 17. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them, everybody say all of them, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. That, everybody say that. They may be one. Everybody say, they may be one. As we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Everybody say, complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And then 1 John 4:12, it says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, okay, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. Everybody say complete. Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would empower your sons and daughters to know who they are in you. God, that you would help us to walk in wholeness. God, walking in wholeness means to value what you value. God, to desire what you desire, to know what you know, to see what you see, to speak what you speak, Lord. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears that we may hear your word. That today that we would see what you see and that we would value what you value, God. God, that you've given us gift of presence, gift of relationships, Lord. Help us to see them for what they are. They're gifts that you've given us, that you pay the price by giving up your life so that we may possess this gift of relationship, Lord. So open our eyes, Lord. Set us free to enjoy the gift that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are my gift. Okay? You are the gift that Jesus paid the price with his life. You know, we think Jesus died so we could go to heaven. You know, in reality, Jesus came and gave his life so that we may have relationships with God and with one another. You know, I want to ask you, I'm curious, how many of you listen to Emeryville sermons? How many of you listen to Pastor Daniel's Restoration of the Soul? Okay, how many of you listen to my recent sermon that Benjamin re-preached last Sunday, but the one that I actually preached last Sunday? Okay, all right. So I'm going to do some... You know, I'll tell you what it's about, okay? So, you know, I've been telling our people that I couldn't shift. You know, in Living Hope, for many years, God's been teaching us about shifting. You know, we may feel sad, we may feel alone, we may feel judged. But what is the truth? And when we know the truth, right, it doesn't matter what we feel, we shift. And so we learn how to shift. Even though I feel like, you know, my husband seemed kind of selfish and unloving. And I want to say, you don't love me. But in my head, I know the truth. So I shift and say, you love me. Okay? That's what we've been learning. But the problem this year, 2016, is this. That I just could not shift. Shifting was my strength, guys. You know, will, mind, and emotions. That's our soul, right? That's who we are, right? Strongest was my mind and will. You know, when I go through something difficult, I shift. I choose the truth. I pay the price. I know how to be strong. But this year, I just could not be strong. I blamed it on perimenopause for the longest time. But every time I could not shift, I keep hearing God saying, this is my gift to you. Every time I felt judged or disrespected or dismissed or unloved, I'm like, right? And when I couldn't shift, I hear the Lord say, this is my gift. And so I called my pastor, Pastor Daniels. I said, Pastor Daniels, you got to help me. I can't shift anymore. But every time I ask the Lord, I hear God saying, this is my gift. But I don't know how to experience this as a gift. It feels more like a punishment, or it feels more like a curse, not a gift. If you could have been in my mind, you'd be like, whoa, Pastor, you need deliverance. I just could not shift. And you know, his sermon, Restoration of the Soul, actually came out of my meeting with him. And in that meeting, he said this to me, Sonny, you know, God's been speaking to me also that who we are, right, our soul, right, mind, will, and emotions. But what I realized was that we've been shutting down our emotions. And we've been trying to live from, right, our will and our mind. And I feel, and Pastor Daniel said this to me, you know, if you keep telling one person, Matthew, be quiet, Pastor, shh, be quiet, shut up. If I kept, every time he wanted to talk, and I was like, shut up, be quiet, he said, that's abuse. And as sons and daughters of God, we've been abusing one third of who we are. And he went more and said this. He said, I wonder why sons and daughters of God that love the Lord cannot be drawn to the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times you try so hard to pray every day, to do your devotions every day, and you discipline yourself. I'm going to pray every day, 30 minutes a day, 1 hour a day. You try to discipline yourself, but you always fall short. You get distracted by 100,000 other things, and you feel bad, and the enemy accuses you. If you really love God, see, you're not a strong Christian. See, you're a heck of a fake Christian, right? The enemy speaks all these accusations and lies, and we try to discipline our spirituality, but we can't. And every time we ask Pastor Daniels, how do you walk with God and pray all those hours a day? How do you do that? He's like, the key is I don't discipline. My spirituality is not dependent upon my discipline, my will. I'm just drawn by the Holy Spirit, and I just respond to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. The problem is, sons and daughters of God, you are quick to shut him down. When he draws you, it's easy for you to say, nah, not right now. Why? Because in your emotions lay your desires and your discernment. And if you keep shutting your emotions down, you shut down where your discernment is, where you recognize the Holy Spirit is drawing me right now. You understand? So us shutting down emotions goes hand in hand with being drawn, being led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, how do we know if we're sons and daughters? Sons and daughters are those that are led by His Spirit. But we don't know how to be led because we've been shutting down our emotions. And Pastor Daniels was saying, now we need to learn. We learn how to shift. Now we need to learn how to embrace our emotions. But at the same time, you know why we've been shutting down our emotions? Because we've been doing it the wrong way, right? Well, I'm angry, so I'm not going to shut my emotion down. So, Rebecca, I am mad at you. So what happens? when we don't know how to deal with emotions well, we cut relationships. You understand? And so this whole journey this year has been journey to wholeness for me. And after, you know, I just came back from Philippines and Korea, and I had to go do the missions work in Philippines, which was powerful, right? But I told Benjamin, after Philippines, I need my own time. I need to go on a journey where I could be alone. You know why? Because I told you my strength was responsibility. My strength was strength in mind and will. But you know what? I realized I shut down my desires, my emotions in the name of responsibility. And so I said, you know what? I need to go be alone. I need to say yes to me. I need to take a journey and really figure out. Because you know what I realized before I went on this mission trip is I didn't like what was coming out of me. Every time I talk to our leaders or friends, I say things. You know those ajummas, right? They say something and like, oh, okay. Like you just have to like, ne, right? I was becoming one of those ajummas, right? Like I could hear like bitterness and anger and disappointment coming out of my words, and that I will walk away feeling really small and dumb and like a failure. Why did I say that? What the? Why did I say that, right? And so I was like, I just need to be alone with God. I just need God to take everything out that I don't like so that when I come back, I would like what comes out of me. And so I went to Korea, and like I didn't let a lot of people know. I said, no, I'm not going to meet with you. I'm just going to be alone, which is weird because I'm an extrovert, right? But I wanted to be alone. And in my alone time, God started to show these things to me. And he started to show me why me not able to shift was a gift to me. And this is what he said. Sonny, every one of my sons and daughters, I give them their lot. It is God who lay the boundaries of your lot. Okay? If you listen to that sermon, I talk about your lot. And the problem is that we keep looking beyond our boundaries. I'm sick. It's hard for me to accept my sickness right now. So I look beyond. When am I ever going to get well? And I hate me now. I don't like where I am now. And I was doing that with everything, right? The church, why aren't we growing? You know, when are we going to own our own building? When are we going to, right? And like, when I look beyond the boundaries of where we are, I don't like where we are right now. When I look at my marriage, you know, come on, Benjamin, how many times do you have to go on different diets, right? And I keep looking beyond, will he ever? And I don't like where we are right now, right? And I look at Aletheia, right? And the enemy really made me look beyond my borders of my lot. And I didn't like where I was. But God was saying, Sonny, you got to enjoy what's in your lot. Hmm? And throughout my journey, God kept dreaming about eating something yummy, you know? Like over and over again, I'm eating these fruit and these noodles. And every time I'm like, whoa, that was so good. And I feel like, I was like, God, why am I keep dreaming about this? And God said, because I am entering you into a season where you are going to eat the fruit of your labor now. That you're not going to go, you're not going to sow for the future, but you're going to eat what is in your lot now. And I said, how do I do that, God? How do I eat? I know how to sacrifice and save, and I know how to, you know, serve and sacrifice for you, right? But I don't know how to eat now. Enjoy, how do I eat the fruit of my labor that is in my lot now? And God says, through thanksgiving. If you are able to be thankful for what is in your lot right now, it is what it is. If I am sick, you know what? It is what it is right now. If I don't have a husband, it is what it is right now. You understand? If I don't have a house yet, it is what it is right now. Instead of complaining about what I don't possess yet, to see what I have and being thankful, then through thankfulness, through thanksgiving, God taught me, that's how you eat the fruit of your labor, right? Now, you know, I was praying about what to share at Sons and Daughters here, and I feel like God was saying, set them up for wholeness, right? Because starting in January, we're going to really pursue together as community to be whole, right? So let me give you a definition. What does it mean to be whole, okay? Pertaining to all aspects, everybody say all aspects, of human nature, especially one's physical, intellectual, and spiritual development. Being whole means you're not wounded, injured, or impaired. You are sound and you are unhurt. Having been restored, healed, complete. Everybody say complete. Perfection, integrity. You know what it means to be whole? What it means to be whole is in your mind, will, and emotions, you value what you value in your mind, you value in your emotions. And then you act upon that value. Think about it. You value prayer here, but do you really value in your emotions? Because if you really did value prayer in your emotions as your mind did, you would be excited when it's prayer time. You would give up everything else to run to the corporate prayer time, right? But often we value prayer in our mind, but we don't value it with our emotions. And so, you know, in my trip to Korea, I was like, God, help me to value what you value. Help me to want what you want. Help me to desire what you desire. Help me to see what you see. Because the world makes us call what is good bad and call what is bad good. You know, I was watching this Korean video, a Korean drama, and I had to stop. Because right now there are like three different Korean dramas out about adultery. But the way they wrote that drama, you, in your heart, you're like rooting for people who are going to have an adultery. You know, because they have bad marriage or one person, one, you know, spouses, right? And so as I'm watching this, right, it's like, yeah, right? And I was like, wait a minute. Wait, stop. I cannot be watching this. Because in that drama, sometimes what the wife is going through, that's what I'm going through. And then if I'm rooting for, yeah, go with that guy. There's the enemy wants me to, see, you could have had that, but you're a Christian, so you can't have it, right? And you're stuck, right? And the enemy makes you feel like what you have in your lot isn't good. But the scripture says that God has put boundaries and my lot, my inheritance, is delightful. It's good. What is in your lot right now? It doesn't matter if you're not successful as you thought you would be, right? You know, what you, but it's still good. Holy Spirit, God is saying, what is in your lot right now? It's good. And I want you to see for what it is, not what the enemy is saying. I want you to call what is good, good, and what is bad, bad. But the world is making us call what is good, bad, and what is bad, good. You know what wholeness is? Wholeness is to call what is good, good. Wholeness is to call what is bad, bad. Wholeness is knowing who I am in Christ Jesus, and I am more than enough. That what is in my lot is delightful, and it is good. Right? We all know the scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes only to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. You know why? Because what's in your lot is good. And the enemy hates that it's good. So he doesn't want you to enjoy your lot. And sometimes, in order for us to see what God sees and really see, wow, this is so good, to see what is in my lot and eat the fruit of my labor in my lot. Sometimes God allows us to go through some difficult seasons. Because in those difficult seasons, just like I just went through, that's when God opens your eyes That's when God helps you to see what he sees. Hmm? Wholeness is to see what God sees. When you look at yourself, do you really see what God sees? You know, I realize the older I get, this Christianity, this walk with God, isn't as black and white. You either good or bad. Oh, you did that, then you're bad. Oh, you're not doing that? Oh, I realize as older I get, as more mature I become, that the love of God is greater than my own failure. And what God sees has nothing to do what I actually possess. You know, what God taught me is this, especially about this wholeness. Because before, like a few months ago, everything felt like everything was falling apart. Everything. Except for sons and daughters. You guys were my only joy and testimony. I would share, oh, this and all that. But, you know, sons and daughters, we were launched and they're powerful, they're amazing, right? So you were like my only, like, testimony, right? But you know what I realized, though? That wholeness, I cannot walk in wholeness without intimate covenant relationship. And I feel like God was saying, I struggled all that much because I allowed the lies of the enemy to bring certain perspectives about my relationships. Okay? All right, think about this. Think about, let's say you had the most terrible time, like after church. Maybe you got an email from your boss saying, you know what? You're fired. Maybe you got into a car accident and your car got totaled. Maybe something terrible happens to you. But when you are able to go home to a family, to a friend that could cry with you, that could get angry with you, that could do their best, you know what? You know what, Rebecca? I don't care what we're getting, right? That would make you laugh. That terrible thing that happened to you could become something that you experience life. Relationship is the key to wholeness. But what if you got something amazing? Maybe your boss emailed you and said, you know what? You are so effective in this job. We're going to give you a promotion and you're going to get $50,000 more. Woo! Or maybe your app did something and somebody wants to buy your app. You create it and they say, I'll give you $10 billion. Let's say something crazy exciting happened and you go home to nobody. There's nobody to enjoy and celebrate with you. That most exciting thing can make you the most depressed person. Hmm? You know, I thought about when Benjamin and I went to Italy, we actually went to Vatican, right? And before that, since we're like, you know, since we have to go to a conference there, why don't we go, you know, a week ahead, you know, go see Spain and Paris, right? And so we were poor back then, so we did our best. And when we got to Paris, you know, we enjoyed our time. And then from Paris, we're supposed to fly, right, to Italy. But then we thought about the cheapest way to get to the airport was through their subway. And when we went like 3-4 hours before, more, right? We gave us like enough time. And when we got on the subway, it just stopped in the middle. It just wouldn't move. And when we asked the people, is this normal? They're like, no, this never happened. And so by the time we got to the airport, guess what? We missed our flight that we paid like $100-something per person. And when we tried to rebook it, they said, oh, you got to buy the whole ticket. You know how much it was? $1,000 per person. $2,000 to go from Paris to, right? We didn't have any savings. We didn't have any money. All we had was a credit card. In the beginning, Benjamin was kicking the garbage can, right? And I was like in shock. I mean, the whole reason why we came to Europe was to go to this conference. But we don't, do we really want to spend $2,000? But then if we don't get there, that's where we fly home, right? So what do, God? We have no choice but to put it on our credit card to buy the ticket. But during that time, you know what happened? We felt sorry for each other. He felt bad for me. I felt bad for him. And so when he was kicking the garbage cans, like, it's okay, Benjamin. God will provide. And then he saw sadness and fear, right? 2000. At that time, like, having $1,000 in savings was my dream, right? And so he saw the terror in my eyes, like, oh, Sonny, I'm so sorry. But you know what? It'll be okay. And you know, that moment we shared before we got on that flight was the most romantic time that we've ever had. Terrible. But because we had one another, we could look back and say, hey, we did not allow that to destroy us. But we got more intimate. We kissed more. We hugged more. We encouraged each other more. Perspective of success, perspective of wholeness is dependent on your relational connection. Okay? Now, before, we just went through a leadership retreat a few months ago, right? And during that time, Pastor Mike came and he taught us that everyone has a wound, everyone has like lies, and which created this relational style that communicates something that's not in your, like, he went through all these things with us, right? And so before then, what I realized was often I felt uncool by our staff and our leaders. I feel like I'm old school, you know, like they're all hipsters and millennials and I don't get them, right? And I feel like they don't get me, and I feel like they never said it, but I feel like they think I'm old school. And I asked Benjamin, are we not cool anymore? Like, do you feel like not cool? And like, he's like, yeah. Oh, we're the middle-aged ajummas and ajashis now, right? And I felt like what I value, they didn't value, you know? And which made me feel like, oh, they don't want to spend any time with me. They respect me as a pastor, but they don't really love me as a person. I'm not cool enough for them to hang out with, right? And so I've been feeling all this insecurity, and I've been trying to shift, but I couldn't shift, right? And so during our retreat, after each session, I called my associates, right? And then with Benjamin, and we did this whole thing together. And we got to share, you know, I have this wound. And out of that wound, I believe this lie. And out of this lie, these things trigger these feelings. And because of my wound, your relational style speaks this. So we got to, like, we got to tell our associates, right, in Emeryville, because they weren't here, because a fig was lost, but he was found. But like, I got to say, you know what? Like, because of my wound, because of my wound, your relational style makes me feel like I'm not cool. I feel dismissed. I feel like I'm not that important to you, you know? And they're like, what? No, right? And they spoke life. And then they said the same thing. Because of my wound, Pastor, your relational style speaks this to me. And we got to really, really open up. And we got to really, wow. Like, at the end of it, on both sides, we just wanted to be loved by one another and to be valued by one another. And when we feel like I'm not valued, I act a certain way, and that makes you feel like you're not valued by me. And because of that, you act a certain way, and makes me feel like I'm not valued. And it affects everything. And because of that, I feel like the whole church is coming apart. Nothing's going right except for soda, right? Right? But then after this journey, I felt like, wow, you know, I understand you, you understand me. It was our woundedness that made us feel like that. But because that, I feel like, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, we do love it. Oh, maybe I'm not that uncool as I thought. Oh, maybe you do want to hang out with me. Oh, okay, right? I felt like, oh, I guess it's pretty good. But after this journey where God taught me to enjoy my lot, to say it is what it is, and then be thankful for what it is, I came back. I feel like I'm on the top of the world. I feel like we're the most successful church in the whole wide world, right? I feel like, wow, everything is well. All is well. We are so blessed. We are so powerful. But what if you look at it situationally, nothing changed. We still don't have a building. You understand? And my husband is still overweight, but he lost 7 pounds, guys. He did lose 7 pounds. Every day he's losing a pound. You don't understand. That speaks life to me, right? And situationally, nothing really changed. But because I feel so connected relationally to my husband and to my associates, right? I feel like all is well. We're so amazing. We're so awesome. You know, in John chapter 17, why do you think Jesus prayed that? That they may be one. That they would know that they are one. Just like you and me, I and you and them in me. Jesus kept praying, make them one. That they would be complete in us. Why? Because he knew that what he came was for this relationship, this oneness, this covenant relationship. That's where we experience life. And he knew because he came here to pay the price for relationship, he knew the enemy will attack relationships. He knew the enemy will do all he can do to isolate us from this covenant, intimate relationship that Jesus came to pay the price, right? 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Complete oneness, wholeness can only happen when we learn to love one another. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:22, it says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. When you are able to love one another deeply from the heart, Aletheia used to sing that when she was 2 and 3. Love you from the heart. Love you from the heart, right? From the heart. When we learn to love each other from the heart, his love is made complete in us, then our experience, our emotional experience is all is well. We may not have buildings or houses or the job that I thought I would have at this time, but all is well. All is well when we have that relational connection. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. When you strive for that full restoration, how do you do that? By encouraging one another, by loving one another. Then the God of peace and love, all is well. You understand? Where your mind, will, and emotions are one. They value, they see, they know as one. Without one another, we can't get there. Even if you spend 20 years going to a therapist, spending $200 per session every week, if you are alone, I don't care how deep you go, without one another, we cannot reach complete wholeness apart from one another. Situations do not define wholeness, but your relational connections do. You know what God said? This is what he said. You know, you cannot be whole without me. At the same time, you cannot be whole without one another. We need one another. I need you, and you need me. Sometimes when we look at our lot, there's a lot of things that's missing. And to fill my lot with the things that's missing often, we have to neglect our relationships. That's why parents, they want to provide financially. What do? They neglect relational connection with their children. And by the time they're old, they're gone. They may have money to give to their kids, but they don't have the relational connection. What's in your lot right now? How much are you enjoying what is in your lot? There are things that's missing in your lot, but you know what? If you could really work on your relational connection with your family, with your friends, with God, all is well. It says the God of peace and love will be right there. Relational connection. And when I am connected with you and I could eat the fruit of this relationship now, not, okay, when Matthew gets older and he makes enough money, when he's able to buy me pho, right, or boba, that's when I could enjoy this relationship. No, right now. It is what it is. He has his woundedness. He's not perfect. I have my woundedness. But right now, in my lot, you are in there, and in your lot, I am in there. And where we are right now, how do we eat the fruit of a relationship? When we are able to enjoy each other's presence, when we put our relational connection on top of everything else, guess what? Guess what? Then you are able to reach wholeness and you realize, oh, I don't have to make a certain amount of money to feel whole. You know what? I don't have to possess certain things. I don't have to have certain title. But when I am relationally connected to you and I am free to be who I am, when I value what God values, which is relationship, when I recognize that even difficult times, when I could hear God saying, this is my gift to you. I don't know what's in your lot. Maybe good, maybe bad. Maybe exciting, maybe boring. Whatever is in your lot, today I want you to hear God saying, this is my gift. This is my gift. And what I have put in your lot, God is saying, it is good. Can you join God and call what is good, good? Because emotionally, you've been calling it bad. Maybe in your mind, you called it good. But in your emotions, But today, I want you to stand up with me, and I want you to really ask the Holy Spirit. This is what I want us to pray. I want you to pray, God, help me be whole. Help me see what you see. Help me value what you value. Come on, I want you to pray that prayer. You may not like certain things in your lot. But right now, let's focus on what is good in your lot. Let's focus on relationships that God has blessed you with. And when you are able to be thankful for what is in your lot, especially the relational connections, guess what? God is going to enlarge your boundaries. He's going to enlarge your boundaries. So I want you to pray that prayer. God, help me to value what you value. Help me to see what you see. Help me to desire what you want me to desire, God. God, I pray that you would silence the lies and the accusations of the enemy. God, the enemy says that I'm a failure. The enemy says, God, that I should be somewhere far than where I am right now. The enemy says, God, that I'm not as connected to others as other people are. The enemy says, God, I don't belong as other people belong. The enemy says, God, the enemy keeps speaking lies, God, to your sons and daughters, Lord. But today I ask that you would silence every lie of the enemy, that you would open our eyes to see what you see, that what you placed in our lot, it is good, God. We want to call what you say good to be good, Lord. We want to enjoy life now. You gave, you came so that we may have life abundant. So Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that we would enjoy life, that we would see your gift as a gift, not as punishment, but as a gift. It's a gift. I want you to say that over and over again. Thank you. Thank you for the gifts you've given me. Thank you for my lot, God. Thank you for the boundaries that you have placed over my lot, Lord. Yeah, I want you to keep on praying right now.